So we've got two matters in the Mint. We've got the sale motion and the order to show cause. Let's take the order to show cause first. All right. Good morning, everyone. Mr. Guerin, so this is on the court's order to show cause, and I had ordered you to file declarations that attach copies of the following. First, communications with the 11 customers described in the Calvert Declaration who received refunds of their settlement payments, including letters that accompanied any checks, and then second, emails and other communications from Jennifer Baker to any customers, any emails and other communications from any customers to Jennifer Baker relating to resolving the disputes. I think I got the second part. I don't think I got the first.
I think you did get all of it, Your Honor. I think that it was all embedded, and I can tell you we've made some efforts since we filed the material to go back and try to segregate out the communications with the 11 folks that we refunded money to. But one thing I can tell you is there were really no follow-on discussions with those parties. There was no email that went back out to them. We just refunded their money.
So you just put a check in an envelope?
We actually refunded via their credit card. So they got a credit card credit, and there actually had been a dialogue back and forth about whether there would be an email that was going to go to them.
Okay.
But there was some confusion between who was going to send that, and it never got sent. So there's never been any subsequent communication back to those parties that said anything about the refund. They just got their refund, and they got their dies.
They got their dies initially because they paid the $300, but they got a check from $300, and no one emailed back and said, hey, why am I getting my $3 back?
Nope.
That's surprising.
It was surprising to me as well, Your Honor, but that's what happened. And they did, in fact, and I have the records, and I can file with the court, or I think I have with me today, I can hand up to you the record that shows that they got the refund via their credit card. We've tracked all of those.
Okay.
And we've confirmed that all 11 of them did, in fact, get the refund.
Okay. So there were some parties. Okay, let me just ask about the entire production. So Ms. Anderson and I read them all. Okay, did you?
I've not read every one of them. Okay. I have not, Your Honor, but my staff has gone through them and combed through them. We spent many, many, many hours working on this.
Okay, well, I know the problem is the form in which they were produced to the court is not usable. Some of them are 6, 7, 8 different times the same email. And then sometimes there'll be an email string and it'll end and I'll go, what happened next? And then, as of course, as you know, each docket has 5 different exhibits and you have to open them separately because they're so freaking huge. And so there is no way I can put together what happened. How am I supposed to do that?
Your Honor,
I expect them to be organized by, if there'd be an email string, it'd be all the emails with this one customer done. And then all the emails with this other customer, but you literally just emptied Ms. Baker's email box on the court. I'm sorry, but it's not, I can't use it.
You asked us to provide a comprehensive disclosure of all of Ms. Baker's emails. And I've got 6 or 7 staff folks. Mr. Wagner spent time on this. Ms. Baker spent a significant amount of time on this. My staff has spent many, many, many hours pulling this all together and trying to convert it into a form that we could file it with the court.
Right.
Redacting the materials, the personal information materials that were in there. So I can tell you, it's been an inordinate amount of time that we expended on this.
If you think there are
specific things that you would like to have us look at and to carve out and to present to you, we can make an effort to do that. But I'm telling you, we made a tremendous effort to comply with this order.
Here's the thing is, I think you did make a lot of effort, but I mean, again, I've been through 3,000 emails or 3,000 pages of documents, I should say. And Ms. Anderson been through the other 3,000. We can't figure out you pick a particular customer and the email string would just kind of end. Now, maybe that's the end, or maybe it's somewhere else. I mean, I can give you an example. I've got an email string, and this involves another issue. And Mr. Wagner is here, so he may be able to opine on some of this. It involves Sierra Mint. So I've got an email at docket number 1817-2, so it's exhibit 1 to docket entry 1817 at page 20 and 21, and it says from Ms. Baker, looking over your attached invoices, the coin you order is produced from our import vendor. I do not have access to those dies. However, I can refer you to a company that can place a reorder using your existing dies. Marty Colwell, Sierra Mint, gives a phone number and an email. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, then there's back and forth. And then I can't figure out how it ends. Well, then I go to docket number 1817-3. Okay, so that's the next entry, the next exhibit, and I find some more emails. And again, it appears to be a duplicate, but I can't really tell you'll have to go back and look at these, and the way it's organized, the timestamps don't make any sense. And I just don't know how these things were arranged. And I know that the party sending it was from Texas, but it's just all messed up. And so I can't tell what happened. And so if this was organized by customer, you would know and I would know. But I can't ask Mr. Calvert what happened. He's not going to know off the top of his head. He'd have to go look at it. And so I started making notes, note after note. And then I just got tired of it because it's like, oh, wait a minute. I saw that name 3 docket entries before. It's like, oh, what happened to it? I don't know what to say, but I'm not satisfied with how this was produced. I don't know what happened. And I frankly have some real serious questions about some of these entries, but my questions may be resolved if there's an email. Maybe it's the one Ms. Anderson looked at. It's in the pile that she looked at, but I don't know, because we try to split it up in a week. But rather, we could take 2 more weeks. But I think if you did this in discovery, you'd get an objection from the respondent, from the other party, saying to the judge, saying this is not usable. Literally, there's some emails 7-8 times, same ones, over and over and over again. Why do I have the same email 7 times?
You know, Your Honor, all I can say is how we did. We collected it. We went and we assembled it, and we tried to produce it in the form that it had been in the emails, which okay. I think is something that would be in compliance with discovery rules. If there's some direction you'd like to give us and a way to organize it, we will go back and do that.
Well, you know, I am conscious, though, of the costs. And, you know, I will say this. You guys have not once complained about the costs that you guys are incurring. And everybody knows it's not a secret. It's an administratively insolvent case.
Right.
And I will commend you and Mr. Calvert and Mr. New and your entire team. No, not once have I heard a peep that we're not getting paid, so we're not going to do it the right way. I appreciate that. I really do. And I know that your staff and who you are.
I should introduce you. Yeah. This is my paralegal, Ms. Lentz.
Ms. Lentz, you've done amazing work. I thought that's you. Thank you see your name all on a lot of stuff. I know you've worked very hard. I appreciate the notebooks, everything, including the notebook that had the warning when you open it up, it might cause injury. It was a really big one. But I appreciate your efforts. I know that you've done it. The way that would, and I hesitate because I don't want to keep putting people through the effort. Let me ask a few more questions and let's see where we can go from there. Let's stick with this email chain. And you don't have it before you, but this raised the issues about the Chinese dyes. That is not directly related to the settlement issue, but it is one that's been on my mind and is kind of front and center by this email. So several customers, I lost count, but it was over a half dozen, who submitted claims were told that the coin or other item is produced by, quote, our import vendor, and we do not have access to those dyes. Ms. Baker then referred those customers to place reorders with Marty Colwell at Sierra Mint. In one email exchange, the customer presses Ms. Baker for the actual address of the import vendor. Ms. Baker emails Mr. Wagner saying that the customer, quote, is looking for the China company's information. How should I respond? Close quote. Do you know how she respond? How he responded, or what happened?
Right. Well, I will say it's a bit of a surprise to me to have the discussion of this today. Right?
Okay.
It's not an issue that I was prepared to address.
All right.
I think we were here today to talk about the issues around the disclosures on the dye protocol, and I think we're prepared to address any of those issues. Mr. Wagner is here, and I suppose if you want to talk to him about the Sierra Mint issues and what's going on in that perspective, or we could find another way to present that. We give you a status report with respect to the China dye issues.
Right.
I do know that the trustee has discussed with me on several occasions filing a motion to abandon the China dyes, and we've talked to you about that before. We told you that we don't view that there's any value in that business for the estate any longer, and there's nothing there for us. There's nothing we can do with that. So, I think you also know that Mr. Wagner had opened up the Sierra Mint business, and that we are winding this up.
I understand.
I think the court understands that, and so I had actually been prepared to make some comments to you about where we stand in the case, and I can do that now, or we can defer that.
Well, but I want to hear that. But
the point of that is that this China dye, there's no value there for the estate. I think we can come in and we can file a motion to abandon, and we can address all the issues about Sierra Mint's involvement and what they would be doing with that in the context of that motion might be an appropriate manner to deal with that.
Right.
What I want to talk to you about is I want to squarely address the issues about the dye protocol, and I think that is what we are here to talk about.
Yeah, no, it was. This is the email I printed to kind of show the problems that was in various different forms, and it may be a repeat, I'm not sure, but it was in various exhibits. But no, I want to hear your presentation. I know I just kind of jumped in, but why don't you go ahead, and I'll come back to my questions.
Well, I think the purpose of the disclosure of all of those 6,000 pages of emails, Your Honor, was to be completely open with you about all the communications that Ms. Baker had with those dye customers. And we have gone through and we have reviewed, and I've asked my staff to spend time pulling out anything that was that dealt with corrections or communications about ownership or anything like that. And I think what the body of that those communications substantiate is that this was just a mistake. It was just Ms. Baker who erroneously sent out an email that was inconsistent with what everybody's understanding was of the court's order, including her own, frankly. Ms. Baker's here in court today, and she's prepared to answer any questions. This is Ms. Baker right here, who's sitting in the audience, and she can step up and come to a microphone if you want to talk to her about it. I spoke with Ms. Baker yesterday in preparing for the hearing. What I've learned about her is that she'd been employed as a sales executive for the Mint since 2012, that she's originally from Santa Cruz, California. She went to high school there. She has three children. They are ranging in age from 12 to 20, which
Hold on. I've got other matters. Seriously.
I'm giving you what
okay,
I'm telling you.
Okay, I don't need
is
that.
That she's...
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude, but I don't need that. You don't. I'm going to have some very pointed questions for her,
right.
So we can just get right to them.
Yep.
Doesn't matter how many kids she has.
Well, the
client has admitted that she made false statements to multiple people. And the question is, it's in Mr. Calvert's declaration, the word false. And it's true.
There's no question about that.
The question is, where did she get the information
understood.
From?
Okay.
And I think you have an answer for that.
I do.
Okay.
I think she was not instructed by anyone. And I think she will tell you this, that no one, Mr. Calvert, Mr. Wagner, no one told her, counsel told her that there was that the court had determined that the die ownership issue had been resolved. And no one told her that the court had determined that there was a $300 charge for the dies. The reason I'm telling you about her background, Your Honor, is that what she's been doing since May 31, when she took this project over, she's been working an inordinate number of hours. There's a very low skeleton staff that's left there. She's one of the few people that's there. She's worked 7 days a week, 8 to 12 hours a day since May 31st, principally on this die return issue, right? Which I think tells you the scope and of the difficulty of dealing with the dies, right? These dies have been a very difficult asset for the trustee to administer, and Ms. Baker has been the point person in dealing with that. She's been overwhelmed with that, right? That I believe is the cause of the mistake that's there.
Well, why did she say the court has already determined ownership of the dies?
I think it is very difficult to understand that, and you can talk about it directly. What I come out of it in my conversations with her is the only explanation for that is that she's overworked, that she is distracted, right, and that she just made a mistake when she put the language together.
No, not by mistake. That's making stuff up. And then people asked her, show me the order. And again, the email trail ends. So when someone said, show me the order, isn't that a sign to Ms. Baker? I better go get a copy of that order. Unless she knows she's just a bald-faced liar and there is no order.
No, she's not.
Well, which
not
is
lying,
it?
Your Honor. No.
What
no.
happened? I'm going to put everybody on the stand. I'm not going to do it today. I'm going to put everybody on the stand. You can tell I am vexed by this.
I can, Your Honor.
This is the second hearing, and I'm still not getting a straight answer. You're telling me I believe. What's the answer? You've talked to her. Don't give me your spin or your belief. What does she say?
I'm not giving you any spin.
Don't tell me what you believe. Tell me what she said. Why did she, in your words, make up the statement the court ordered
she made
the determination? Why is that line in there 74 times in the email?
She tells me she doesn't know why she put it that way, that it is a mistake. Your Honor, I'm being directly and as directly candid with you as we possibly can be about this. There is no intention by this estate, by the trustee, by any of the professionals, or by Ms. Baker to intentionally mislead anyone. She made a mistake when she sent these emails out to 74 people. And when we discovered it, we corrected it the day after we learned about it. So
okay.
I'm telling you, I'm looking you in the eye and I'm telling you, we have never tried to deceive any of these people. And there's nothing in it for us.
I know,
to
that's
deceive
what,
them.
That's what's so perplexing, is there's nothing in it.
So I don't understand why you can't accept that a mistake could be made.
Okay, so let's see. Email from Edward Gibstein on June 1, 2018. I spoke with Mr. Calvert. He indicated that the price per tool is $300, regardless of ownership, is dictated by the bankruptcy court. This is Mr. Gibstein saying Mr. Calvert told him that.
I understand that. I actually I saw that email. That was one of the emails that my staff brought to my attention. I called Mr. Gibstein.
Okay.
Mr. Gibstein told me he doesn't recall exactly what was said to him. But he says if I put it in an email, you know, and maybe that's what he said.
Okay.
He doesn't specifically recall what Mr. Calvert says. Mr. Calvert can talk to you about what he was telling people. I don't know if he specifically recalls the exact conversation with Mr. Gibstein, but I can tell you that there were meetings that were held with the staff and Mr. Calvert, May 31 meeting, where everyone was told, we are not selling these dies to anyone. We have not determined that the estate owns these dies. What we are doing is we are settling the dies. We are settling the ownership issue over the dies, and we are asking people to pay $300 in order to settle. That was what was communicated as the protocol internally to the staff who was going to go out and do this and present it to the customers. How that got people misinterpreted, right? People misunderstood.
How does someone take that to the court, enter an order?
Well, the court did enter an order.
The court entering an order determining the ownership. I don't get it.
I think the determining the ownership is the aspect of it that was inaccurate. I think we should be able to understand that people, the customers, and Ms. Baker, who is not a, she's not someone who's been in court. She's not someone who's dealt with court proceedings very often. That the fact that a court order was entered, that there was some sanction from the court of something, right? And what we were sanctioning was that the court was going to approve this protocol that we're going to go and settle with people.
Right.
That did happen.
Which protocol on its face says there's going to be a determination later. So are you saying that she didn't have the protocol in front of her?
She initially...
I think, pretending like she's not here. I can ask her all these questions. I didn't think she'd show up, but Ms. Baker, come on up. Let me ask you these questions. Why don't you have a seat right there, Ms. Baker? Good morning. Thank you for being here. As you can tell, I'm quite concerned by what has happened. And let me tell you why. Mr. Calvert was basically employed by the court. I authorized his employment. People out there think he works for the court, that he's an extension of me. So when he says false things, whether directly or through somebody else, other people think that the court, at a minimum, were confused, and at worst, were out there perpetrating some falsehoods. You got requests from people saying, in response to your email, "Well, show me the order." How did you respond to them?
I responded with contacting Mark Calvert.
Okay.
Okay.
And did you say, why did you say there was an order?
Because it was just a confusion on my behalf. First of all, I'm sorry. I'm super nervous.
That's okay. That's okay. Take a glass of water. This is distressing for the court. Okay. And I know it's distressing for you, but at a minimum, there were negligent misrepresentations that were not true.
Nobody told me any of this.
Okay, but
I thought the court had approved the whole process. That was just my interpretation of the meeting. And I was overwhelmed. I'm still overwhelmed. I'm sorry.
All right, well, I'm pulling up. Hold on. So,
I thought the court had approved the whole process, and that's what I was trying to say. And I said it wrong, and nobody told me to write that.
All right. Well,
the bottom line was that when I was put in this position, I was instantly emails flowing in, phone calls on two phones, me personally going out and pulling dies. And if I didn't know that I had said something wrong, I wouldn't know to go and ask those questions. I honestly thought I was just doing what I was asked to do, which was to, you know, try to settle the dies.
Right.
And if somebody asked me about that, you know, court order, I would ask them to contact Mark Calvert.
Okay.
You know.
And so, Mr. Calvert, someone would call you and say, "I understand there's an order that the court or determine ownership." What did you say to them?
I said, "No, there wasn't. What there was
okay,
a hearing."
I'm gonna stop you there. So why did you then ask, why do you think there's an order?
I didn't ask that question.
But okay, I'm sorry. Why would they think that? Someone must have told them. Who would have told them? Ms. Baker.
I don't know where they obtained their information from. I don't know where they would call in. I have the record of that phone call. I pulled it up. I'd given it to Mike. It was about a 4-minute phone call. So we went back and found it. It was late May is when that occurred. But I had a fairly tight script I was using that I ended up putting in an email at one time that said, no, it's not resolved. There's going to be a court hearing later in July or August to resolve the ownership. But we can resolve the issue with you now. And pushed forward on that accordingly.
So here's an email, June 8, from Frank Ponzer to you, Mr. Calvert, copying Jennifer Baker, docket number 1816-4 at page 3 through 4. And it's an email chain, and it's Mr. Ponzer saying, hello, Mark, I'm Frank Ponzer. Below you will find communications between the Mint and myself that explains my sentiments. And in this email chain is the email from Ms. Baker to Mr. Ponzer on June 5 saying, the court has determined the Mint retained ownership. So you got at least one email. Unless you didn't read through it, but Mr. Ponzer says read through it. So either you ignored him or you read through it and you missed it or what?
I don't know the specific circumstances of that email. I'd have to read it again and see it.
Yeah.
But I know I called most people and gave a much more lengthy explanation of what was going on
right. And
resolved the issue with the creditors or the DAI owners when they called me. So yes, I took a number of phone calls. When I couldn't get a hold of a person, I would send them an email type thing. But yes, I had communication with them and I tried to resolve the issues directly.
Well, here's at least one example where you got the email that Ms. Baker was sending. And I've got the email from Mr. Gibstein, who I assume it was contemporaneous with his conversation with you, saying you told him the same thing. And I know that your initial protocol is exactly what Ms. Baker was telling people, which is we believe that we own the DAI and the settlement price is $300. That's what you sought to approve.
Your Honor, that was my position at that point in time. When the court ruled, I had a regular Monday morning meeting
right. Where
I outlined in great detail that we are not selling the DAIs, we don't have the ownership, that we need to work through those issues with these people, and made it really clear in the Monday morning meeting, because since starting to close the plant, we've had a Monday morning meeting every single week to resolve all the issues that are coming up, to resolve all the DAI return issues that came up. So we communicated, and we communicated very clearly after Your Honor ruled that we are not selling the DAIs at that point. Now,
not clear enough.
Clearly, Your Honor, I understand.
who are the lawyers in Bonnie Lake?
There are no lawyers in Bonnie Lake.
Okay, so why is Ms. Baker instructing folks to send checks to lawyers in Bonnie Lake, P.O. Box 8329.
Bonnie Lake is where an employee of Cascade Capital is.
Okay.
That collects and does the MORs and does the monthly reporting.
Okay.
And to clarify one other issue for Your Honor that was discussed earlier, the reason there was an error in returning, the accountant does the credit card memos. And that accountant did all the credit card memos. We thought we had the communication lined up to go out, but we wanted to make sure it was returned, reviewed by attorneys and done right. So there was a slip between the credit card getting done immediately and the time it was taking to make sure we were communicating back the correct information. So it was just two different prongs that were involved, not the same person returning the credit card credit and the person sending out the email.
All right. Let me repeat. I recognize folks have worked very hard and continue to work very hard. I do have to question why you just didn't abandon these DAIs also, probably wishing you did now. But the parties, everyone involved in this room and others I know have worked very hard. I recognize that. But I'm not satisfied with the answers today, is all I can say. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but my concern still is, even with the 11 people who just mysteriously get a check back, I've got to be wondering, what kind of clown show is going on here? That's because that's what it looks like. I'm talking about the court. The court's the clown show. This is the court's overseeing this process, and you're demanding $300, and then you magically get it back without any explanation. Well, I mean, do you understand why? I just want you to understand why I'm concerned that there's a perception. This comes back to what I said in April 2016. Thousands of people are watching this case. We're going to do it by the book. I want people to have faith in the bankruptcy process when we're done. And this and I fly-specked that notice to go out, and I got completely undermined. And I'm not happy if you can't tell. And I feel like there is, to preserve the integrity of this court, not me, but the court, to these people who've got to be at a minimum confused as to what's going on. Maybe it's completely innocent. I mean, it's poor oversight on your part, Mr. Calvert. There's no other word for it. And if you didn't read that email from Mr. Ponzer, you missed an opportunity to catch it before it became my attention. But it's been out there.
But I did call him and have a conversation with him, and I think I resolved it at that time.
You resolved it, but you didn't get to the fact that someone was telling people that the court had made a ruling, notwithstanding the notice saying there's going to be a hearing. So that's the problem I have. I don't know what to do with this.
So much misinformation with the About AG site about rulings that have been made and interpretation of those by a non-professional.
What rulings?
There is a number of comments about rulings made by this court on a site called About AG. Okay. And the interpretation of those are done by a person that receives money for clicks. And as a result, I think we have a situation where there's a lot of misinformation out there, and therefore I do get a number of confused people, a significant number of confused people. You should see my phone records. I have hundreds of people I have dealt with in a very professional fashion, and I have resolved those issues to those people's satisfaction. In some cases, just returning the die to make it easier to get it done because the cost has been prohibitive.
Right.
And it has continued on. So we have done an outstanding job. I understand Your Honor doesn't think that. But Ms. Jennifer has done an outstanding job. Edgar has done an outstanding job. We have fought through a lot of different issues, a lot of different problems. So while you see the exception to the rule, there was a significant number of matters resolved very well. Very nice, very professionally, very kind. People appreciate us very much. Jennifer's gotten a number of praises from customers. So, yes, you see the exceptions to the rules. You don't see the 95% that went out perfect and got resolved perfectly.
Well, I think I do because I've got 6,000 pages of documents. So, yeah, I've seen that.
That you're having a hard time interpreting. What I would recommend...
No, I'm having a very easy time interpreting. I can interpret an email that you apparently just either blew off.
No, I went directly to calling the customer.
Let me finish. I've got this email where you were copied with the language that Ms. Baker was sending out, and you didn't do anything about it, and you wouldn't have done anything about it, and nothing would have happened, and the 11 people who paid based upon a false email would have never gotten their money back but for Ms. Kaplan's client raising this before me. And then what about the people who didn't pay the $300 but just said, I'm not going to fight you. I've got those folks in here too. Did you return their dies?
Everybody who made a claim of a die before the deadline, and even some after the deadline, had their die returned even if they didn't pay the shipping fee. Now, we still have what left?
Yeah,
25 we haven't been able to
yes,
find out of the 400 and
absolutely.
Something. So We have returned every single one, even if we didn't get the shipping fee, with the exception of approximately 25 we have not been able to find yet.
Mm-hmm. But some people have paid a settlement amount to get theirs back. But either they've paid or they've gotten it just for the shipping fee or even without the shipping fee.
Early on, Your Honor ruled that I had the authority to settle. So, yes, there were some early settlements.
Right.
Then there was a period of time where we agreed to return for the shipping fee.
Right.
Then there's a period of time when we were trying to get the factory closed so we could get the cure items done on the lease that we said, all right, everybody that's on this list that expressed a claim, return them even if we don't get the shipping fee.
Okay.
Get them done. So we still have 25 on that list. We have not been able to find the die. But we have gone from, yes, my position that we owned them,
right,
to a position where Your Honor made it clear we didn't own them, we're going to resolve the issues,
right,
to now a position where we're trying to close down, where we shipped them all back with no fee. So all 400 have been addressed as professionally as possible. Yes, there's 25 still unresolved, but we have done the best we can under the circumstances, and contrary to the court's opinion, I think we've done an outstanding job.
I disagree.
I understand you do.
And I'm the one that's going to issue the order that so says.
I understand.
And I'm going to be sending out an order informing 300 people that the trustee made misleading statements through his agent. Because this court will not be viewed as a clown court where it doesn't know what it's doing. And you can go home and tell yourself you've done an outstanding job. But I thoroughly disagree, and not just on this matter. Anything else, Mr. Guerin?
Well,
all right.
I know what I want to correct one thing, or at least add another fact. I do understand there are about 15 of the customers that contacted the trustee that we looked for their dies and couldn't find them, right? So that's another fact that Mr. Calvert's talking about, 25 folks that we haven't processed yet, but there's 15 that we've actually looked for. We can't find their dies anywhere, and we're
okay,
letting them know that. So,
all right. Well, that.
Your Honor, I want to say one other thing about this. I do not think that these people, with the exception of the 11 folks that we refunded money to, I don't believe that any of them were really misled. And I think that this misleading communication did go out, but it was corrected, and it was corrected before there were any further communications with them about settling or resolving their die issues. The vast majority of these people, first of all, the vast majority of the DIE folks didn't respond at all. We had more than 400 that did.
Right.
But the vast majority of those 400 people, those were all resolved to their satisfaction. And one of the things Ms. Baker talks to me about is they have a very good relationship. She has a very good customer relationship. She values those customers. She's a salesperson that deals with those kinds of customers all the time. She wants to be accommodating to them and to make sure that their interests are taken care of. And she was doing the very best she could to do that. So my point of this is that I don't think that any of these people, with the exception of the 11, who
No, 74 were, people, though, got
the communication, but I'm telling you they were not misled because we corrected it in time and we went back and we were clear with them in that communication that the court had not issued any rulings about the ownership of the dies or the amount of the dies settlement. So what I'm telling you is a very small universe of people who could have been affected by that, and we did everything we could to correct that immediately. And I will also tell you this. Ms. Kaplan's motion, if Ms. Kaplan had called us and had brought that to our attention before she filed the motion, of course we would have corrected that.
Right, but then I would never have known. That's the thing I want to tell you. If that was your approach and the response, like, you've got to be kidding me, then it would never have been brought to my attention. This is a serious problem. I just strongly disagree with what your team is saying. It is a serious problem, particularly given how hard we work to avoid it. And maybe it just comes down to complete lack of oversight to put this all on Ms. Baker, let her make up whatever she wanted to say to customers without giving her a script. The other problem is emails are going out after the fact where the trustee is currently offering to settle disputed claims of ownership at $50 per die. That's June 21 at 9:24 a.m. On June 25, the trustee is currently settling disputes at $150 per die. The day before, on June 22, the trustee is currently offering to settle die ownership claimed at $300 per die. And then on the 21st, actually two on the 21st, one at $100 and one at $50. The same language, but the number is just changing. Why?
Well, you told him he could settle it for whatever he wanted
No, but the trustee is currently offering to settle disputed claims of ownership at $100 per die.
No. Some of it has to do with the number of dies that are on there. Some customers only had two dies.
Per die, this says. Not. It says per die. So why was the number change? Why did the number change 30 minutes later?
It has to do with how many dies that they were going out. And I was told to settle.
Well, it says per die. It doesn't say, I mean.
In most of those emails, you should have the die numbers on there.
But do you understand per die is different than your dies? Mm-hmm. And the language?
Your Honor, I can give a little more detailed explanation.
Yes.
What transpired was some people did not want to purchase them for that. So in some situations, Jennifer and I would talk, and I say, all right, then go back and see if we can get just $50 to cover the shipping costs so I'm not out of pocket. All right. Or see if you can get 100. If you can't get 300, get what you can get and close it out. Solve it up. We were trying to finish this out. So I did give instruction from time to time to Ms. Baker that said, hey, if you can't get the 300, which is our standard, then go ahead and see if you can cut a deal to get them shipped out of here so we can comply with the court order and get them resolved and get them done. So, yes, there were times that some people said, well, that's too much. All right, sell them for 100 then. Sell them for the shipping cost. I finally returned them with no shipping cost.
You're missing the point. The language is the trustee is currently offering to sell disputed the trustee is currently offering to settle disputed claims of ownership at $50 per die. That is a statement that this is what the trustee is currently doing per die. That number, the sentence stays the same, but the numbers different. It's not the trustee will settle with you for $50. It's the perception that the trustee has a protocol in place when you didn't. And again, at this is on June 21, after the snafu was discovered, you should have been tightly reviewing or just a script. And if that's the script, it's also misleading because that wasn't the current offer. This is what we're offering to settle with you. But that's, again, I'm sorry. I could go on. I've got other problems with these emails. It's not the majority, but it's enough when you're an officer of the court. All right, we got to move on.
All right, Your Honor. So do you want to talk about the sale hearing?
Let's talk about the sale hearing. My only concern with the sale motion was to make sure that the dies that were subject to this protocol are not in there. It sounds like, as I read the sale motion, they are not.
They are not.
Okay, so they've all been pulled out. So these are all the undisputed, unclaimed, I guess you call them unclaimed dies.
Call them unclaimed.
All right,
correct.
So the only issue I had with the order was the fraudulent conveyance language. I'm railing against that. You're not the only ones.
Didn't we pull that out? I thought we pulled it out of this order.
Well, I think I caught it in two places. There's another case, but I asked someone, is there some East Coast law firm that's out there challenging 363 sales and asserting fraudulent conveyance arguments? Because I'm starting to see this language in this order. And I asked these lawyers and they go, no, we're not aware of anything. And I said, well, they need to take it out. But it's recital I in paragraph 7 of the order, which says the recital is that it constitutes reasonably equivalent value and fair consideration under the code and under the laws of the U.S., any state, territory, possession, or the District of Columbia. Besides not knowing what the laws are of all 50 states and the districts and the territories, so I couldn't possibly make that finding. I'm just not inclined to start making reasonably equivalent value findings you're getting an order that says this is in the best interest of the estate, this is fair. I just think it's unnecessary and it's clogging up orders. So okay. You could pull that out. Otherwise, I don't have any objection.
I do have to give you an update on the facts, Your Honor, and where okay. We stand on the motion.
Because okay. The
things have slightly changed since during this week. You saw the bid mm-hmm. made by Mr. Simmons, right?
Yes.
And so what came of that was Mr. Simmons actually came in and had never heard from him. He filed on Friday. That's the first time that Mr. Sternberg called me late in the afternoon on Friday, first time I ever spoke with him, and then we started talking on Monday. In response to that, Metalcraft actually increased its bid to $110,000.
Oh.
So they've actually agreed to pay $110,000, and the sale will be for the $110,000 purchase price.
All right.
So there's actually some benefit to that.
That's great.
Mr. Simmons withdrew his bid.
I saw that.
Because he didn't want to compete any further, and he had issues about removing the dyes timely, right? And you know that we are making efforts to wrap everything up and have everything out of there by the end of the month.
Right.
That was part of the dialogue I was having with Mr. Sternberg was did he have trucks? Did he have forklifts? Did he have people prepared to go in there and move this stuff immediately? Mr. Metalcraft was prepared to move the stuff last week. When we got the bid, we had to move that back, and they're going to move everything out on Monday. So they can timely perform on the purchase and sale agreement.
So Metalcraft can get everything out by Monday?
Yeah, and
you'll
will.
Be out,
they
you'll
will.
Be out by Tuesday?
Correct.
Okay, great. Good
so that is the status. And so the order you will see is a purchase price of $110,000, approving the $110,000 purchase price. And then the other aspect I will tell you, we've had a specific dialogue back and forth with Mr. Moran of Metalcraft regarding the 25 people that we've talked to you about that we haven't processed their dyes yet. They are packed, those dyes, wherever they are packed up and they are going to Metalcraft in that shipment.
Okay.
But we have an understanding with Mr. Moran, and he specifically agreed in writing that when we identify those people, that he will return them. He will send them back.
And you just don't know where they are. And right. you haven't heard from, I mean, and then at some point you're just not going to be able to find them probably. I mean, right?
Well,
Ms.
Baker can give you some details, but I understand is we processed everyone except for these 25. But I'm telling you, she's worked 7 days a week, and she's down to these last 25. She's got to go out there and sort through these body of dyes and find the specific one for that customer. She just hasn't had time to do that for 25 of them. But I think that's the last of the people who have raised their hands and have said that they have an interest in the dyes.
Okay. Other than Ms. Carey, who's raising her hand, but I think Mr. Calvert's got her dyes, right?
Mr. Calvert has Ms. Carey's dyes, and maybe, on the record, Mr. Calvert's going to give those to Ms. Carey today.
Let's do that on the record. Ms. Carey, if you'd like to come up. Mr. Calvert's going to give you your dyes. And Mr. Calvert is... Ms. Carey's going to have a seat. Mr. Calvert's going to hand them to her. You're going to take a look
I'd
at
like
them, Ms. Carey, and let me know if they're okay.
I'd like to testify, Your Honor.
You have to testify?
I would like to testify.
About what?
About the issues that you're speaking of.
Could you please pull the microphone closer?
Yeah. I'd like to testify about the issues that you're speaking of.
I'm not sure. What
the dye issues.
What issues in particular?
I had a conversation with Mr. Calvert.
Yes.
On June 20th. So that day is pertinent because apparently after that date, he started telling people that they could get dyes for $50 per dye or $100 per dye, and that was on June 21st, as you said. And I also filled out the form that was imperative in order to fill out, in order to get one's dyes back. And my interest in my dyes was never reflected in the July 3rd rendition of Mr. Calvert's rendition of who all had filled out.
So let me. Interest. I have other people in the courtroom. You've just been given your dyes. What is your concern now?
My concern is that it wasn't merely an oversight or a mistake. My concern is about sanctions.
Okay. That's not your concern. That's my concern. I'm the one that decides sanctions. You have your dyes. What is your injury?
I would like for you to make an informed.
What is your
informed.
Injury? And I'm going to give you a minute. Tell me why are you
my
injured?
Injury? I've spent a year here trying to get the truth out of what happened to my metals, and I still haven't gotten that. And apparently, and I was told I would have to pay $300 to $350 plus shipping and handling on June 20th. But he told me perhaps he would cut a deal with me and maybe even cut that in half. And
I recognize that. He has said that to a number of people. I get that. I understand that. You're just kind of adding to what I've just discussed. So you don't need to add.
No, I could add a lot of gasoline
to this fire, Ms. Carey.
If I were allowed to.
No, Ms. Carey. You've got your dies. I'm literally looking at your dies. You have what you wanted. We can be done. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming in. Good day.
I do not have what I wanted.
Good day, Ms. Carey. Good day, Ms. Carey.
And just so Your Honor knows, the address on her form was incomplete and inaccurate, and we couldn't return them. We have information we need to give to her, too, and we don't have a correct address on the claim amount.
Both of you, she's got her dies. We're done. We're done with that, Ms. Carey. Anything further than on the 363 sale, Mr.
Nothing
Chair?
Further on the 363 sale. I have three quick things I just want to inform the court about.
Okay.
I intended these to be in sort of preliminary comments about the status of the case.
And I completely hijacked you. I
No, Your Honor, we're doing what we had wanted to do in coming up here. Let me start with we are pretty much done with moving out of the Dayton facility at this point. The trustee is still working on completing the items that were identified in your cure order. And I can tell you yesterday we actually opened up some dialogue with the Dayton landlord about the possibility. It's not certain yet. I'm just giving you a heads up that there's a possibility we may want to extend another month, and we're going to try to work out terms with the Hoffs on that so that we can finalize the cure and to try to continue to work on a resolution of the Hoffs issues about wrapping up the Dayton lease matters.
Okay.
I think the court can also report to you that we attended this week a 12-hour mediation with Mr. Ream on the Warnack claims, and we have exchanged an MOU with the party with Ms. Conkle's lawyers, which I think could provide us a platform for resolving the Warnack claims. We would present a methodology to you for approval as to how to resolve those.
Okay.
And the last thing I want to mention is that we are going to come forward next week, and we will work on a bar date, an administrative claims bar date. Our present intention would be that we would have a cutoff date of July 31 for any administrative claims incurred through that date, and then we would ask you for, we're thinking an October 15 bar date. We've done a fair amount of work in identifying the parties that we think we give notice to, and we'll lay that out. My intention was to present that ex parte motion to establish the administrative bar date.
Yeah, that works.
All right, and we'll put a form of notice in there for the court to review and to approve.
That sounds good, and I saw that you've reached a settlement with Mr. Atala.
Correct.
And you'll be noting that up, 9019 motion on that?
Correct.
Okay, we'll look forward to that as well.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Ms. Baker. Thank you, Mr. Calvert. Thank you, Ms. Lenz, for coming in. Thank you, Ms. Carey. We're going to call the next matter. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a short recess till, say, 11:15. We have a 1:05 conference set for 11. And Ms. Jarvis, you're here, Ms. Jarvis. I think this one will be short. I believe that the Ratcliffe matter is, I want to give parties appropriate amount of time to make their arguments, so I don't want to cut it short. So I'm going to take that after the 1:05 conference. So we'll take a recess to 11:15 to take the dry eye company then, and then we'll take the Ratcliffe matter.
All rise. All rise.